And I'll just preach this for a few moments over in the book of Judges, the second chapter. We'll be reading some real familiar scriptures. I'm trying best not to hold you too long. But I felt like the Lord dealt with me. We work with the young people at the home church. And it felt like the Lord's really been dealing with me a lot lately concerning the youth. And we always like to say that, you know, they're the church of tomorrow, and that is a true statement. But in order for them to be an effective church for tomorrow, we need to get them to be effective right now. I mean, we just can't lay something into their laps and expect them to do something with it later. Amen. We need to get them ready and prepared for it now. I feel like the Lord just been dealing with my heart on just the future of the church in general. If the Lord tarries in the next few years, we're going to see some things coming on that we've never seen before, we've never faced before. And it's going to take a people that can get a hold of God and have a move of God in order to overcome those things. The times of being yo-yos and up and down and just barely getting by the skin of our teeth, that's not going to work anymore. We're going to have to say what we've been saying we've been having. Amen. They use old saying, it's time to put your money where your mouth is. Come on here now. Saying boo to the devil and jumping at him, that only holds a bully off for so long. After a while, you're going to have to put your fist up and pop him in the eye. Huh? Amen. That's right. After a while, you're going to have to put up or shut up. Amen. Book of Judges, second chapter. Feel this to be the burden of my heart. Start the 8th verse. Very familiar. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of this inheritance in Timnath-Heres in the mountain of Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And also all the generation were gathered in their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtaroth. Amen. Lord, help me just for a few moments. I'd like to preach on, where are the Joshua? Amen. Where are the Joshua? Our text that we read tonight, it gives us sort of an insight to the end of Joshua's life. And you begin to read and you begin to see how God moved upon Joshua even as he was a youth. And the Bible is pretty vivid with its description of Joshua's commitment to God. One of the most notable that we could think of right off the bat was Joshua was one of the spies that went out to spy the land. And his report, the Bible said he had another spirit. Amen. He was always set apart. He was always courageous toward God's work. And whenever you read about Joshua, you always read something good, some work that was being done, some faith in his life. Amen. And it was him and Caleb that had that other spirit and had that other report. Joshua was faithful to Moses. Moses goes to the mount to receive the law from God, and it was Joshua that follows him to the base of that mountain and waits on the man of God. While the rest of the children of Israel is defiling herself and dancing and worshiping and making a mockery of God, Joshua is at the base of the mountain waiting on the man of God. And one day the Lord decides it's time to call Moses, my leader, home. And Joshua is the one that's chosen by God to precede Moses in the leadership of the children of Israel. And he's the one that leads the children of Israel to the promised land. Joshua's the one who stood, as we've already heard, Brother McDonald, I believe, mentioned it last night. He's the one that stood and proclaimed, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." I begin to think, what a privilege and what an honor to be handed down the mantle of Moses. Amen. What a great honor it must have been for Joshua there to be counted worthy to carry on the work that God had established. And all through the Bible, we begin to read, as I thought about these scriptures, we begin to see and we begin to read that God always has somebody that's going to carry on His legacy. And God always raises up somebody, amen, that's going to carry the banner a little bit further, that's going to raise the standard just a little bit higher. I mean, we read about Abraham. He had Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob, and Moses, of course, had Joshua. And when Saul failed, and miserably before God, God raised up a David. And then Paul had a Timothy and a John Mark. Elijah, he had an Elisha to fall back on. And then even Jesus Christ, when he left this world, looked back to his disciples and commissioned them, "You carry on the work. Greater things than these shall you do when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. You're going to do more things and see greater things accomplished." But the time and the hour and the place here, we find Joshua. He's in the setting of his son. And alas, he looks around and there's nobody to pass the mantle unto. Everybody in his generation's gone. Everybody that stood for God has perished. But now before him stands a generation that does not know God or his work or his power. Well, I need the Lord to come by here with me just a moment. Oh, God. He has no Elisha. He has no Joshua, if you will. He has nobody. He begins to look. He begins to look bad. I begin to think, in this building tonight, we have several pastors in this house. We have several evangelists. I don't know, there might be some missionaries here. We've got some deacons and some board members, no doubt. We've got some precious Sunday school teachers. We've got some great prayer warriors. But I want to tell you something, young people. Amen. Little by little, they're starting to fade away from the scene. And then little by little, their days are being accomplished. I mean, look around, and I'm not being disrespectful by no means. But just look around a minute, young people. Look around. There's a lot of gray hairs in this building. Are you hearing me? There's a lot of slumped over shoulders. Amen. And like I said, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. Amen. But I see great men like Brother Ben Shaw. I see good men like Brother Bobby and Brother Scotty. Amen. They fought and preached and scraped and clawed. Great God in heaven. But they're not going to always be around. Though we'd like them to live forever, they're going to go and meet their days. They're going to come to an end. They're going to go the way of the fathers. Amen. There's got to be some Joshua somewhere that's going to stand up and say, "I'll take the mantle. I'll fulfill the work of God for my generation. I'll preserve holiness." Oh, great God in heaven, where are the Joshuas? I'm feeling the Lord getting a little bit closer up here. Oh, God. I was teaching our young men's class a few Sundays ago. I even made this remark to my pastor, Brother Mike Nichols. I said, "Brother Mike, it troubles me when I look from my generation to the generation that's in these pews tonight, and there is very few young men that have stood up and said, 'I feel the call of God to carry the gospel.' Where's the men and women and the young boys and girls that says, 'I want to be a missionary?' I didn't say they was all gone. I said there is very few that wants to stand up to the challenge and do something for God. Oh, we're going to be in trouble in a few days if somebody don't raise up." Oh, God. I've been wrestling. I've been wrestling this thing for weeks. I've told my young men, they're from the ages of 14 to about 22. I looked at them, and I'm just bored that way. I can't help it. I pointed at them. I said, "God's got more for you than to sit there and bat your eyes in the pew. Come on here and help me a minute, young people. This is your service. Amen. God's got more for you than to play the latest dating game. Are you hearing me? God's got more for you than to bounce up and down like a bunch of yo-yos. We need some young men and some young women that'll say, 'I'll not be defiled by the meat of the king's table, but I'm going to stand up for God.'" Don't get nervous. I ain't going to be long.
Them Hebrew boys, they wasn't 50, 40, 20, they wasn't 60, 70 years old. The Bible says they were boys. They were boys. They said, okay, we're not careful. It doesn't matter what you think, whether my God delivers me or not, I will not bow.
Oh, God, I'll not bow. I'm not going to give in. Stoke that fire up 7 times hotter. Go ahead and yell, devil. But I'm going to be a man and a woman of integrity. I believe. I appreciate the legacy that's been in my life. I want to carry it. This just ain't camp meeting. We're trying to establish a legacy here. When this pulpit's clear to these men that's sitting here, I hope to God that some of you back there is sitting up here. I need somebody to preach to my grandchildren and my grandchildren's children. Oh, God! Don't let it get watered down. Don't let it get compromised. But stand for the truth.
Where are the Joshuas? Where are you at, Joshua? I know you're out there. I know you're out there. Oh, God. Where are you at, Joshua? Oh, God. Where are you at? Could you just raise your hand, maybe? Could you let me know you're in the building, Joshua? Where are you at? Our future is lying upon you. Our future of our movement. You can sit there and act like it's hunky-dory, but we're in trouble. And if we don't get stirred and fall in love with God, we're gonna die.
Scares me. We're bowing down. Everything this world's shoving out just as fast as we can. Our young people go to school and go to work. They're in an environment with this liberal world. Come on here now. You better wake up. You need to get the sleep out of your eyes, young people. And you need to listen to me. Everything ain't heavenly in paradise in this place called Earth. Are you hearing me? There's forces working right now that's trying to destroy the church. And if we don't get some men and young women with some back that's going to stand up, the devil is going to run us over.
I feel the Lord. I know I ain't doing no cartwheels. You just give me a minute. I might try. But I know why I'm not doing cartwheels. This generation has seen enough shouting. You've seen enough prophesying. You've seen enough healings. Huh? But you got the same problem as them people in the Bible when they looked at their prophet and said, all things remain the same since our fathers fell asleep. Where is the miracles of God? Where is all these signs and wonders? Open your eyes and see. God's all around you. But you have no discernment for the house of God, for the Spirit of God, for the work of God.
The Lord carries. I ain't about to go to the rest home or nothing. I just turned 34. I mean, I know I'm not old, but some of y'all is going to laugh. And I'm not trying to be funny, but I can tell at 34, I ain't no spring chicken anymore. My 15-year-old boy wants to come up slap box with me, son. Dad, you just ain't feeling it like I used to when I was 20 years old. Come on here now. I can just imagine how somebody like Bobby Roper would feel. Old Chris say, let's box, Daddy. I think I'd just lay on the floor, amen. Be gentle. Huh? Just be gentle.
amen. I threw that in for good measure. But the Lord tarries 15 more years. And that might very well be the case. I wonder if there's still going to be power in the house of God. I told my young people, if we don't get a hold of God, we've got people coming to our churches now with more needs than I've ever seen. Huh? We complain about homosexuality and AIDS. What are you going to do when the AIDS-stricken man sits in your pew? You going to have enough God to change, show him a change in his life that can be performed? Huh? Somebody mentioned it today. 50%, 50-50 if a marriage is going to last or not. We're dealing with some harsh statistics. We're dealing with a mean devil. We're dealing with a cruel world. I like what that brother says. You need to get rid of that jellyfish backbone of yours. And you need to stand up and say, whether it be popular or not, I'm going to stand, live, and work for God. Joshua found himself in a time of war. He began to seek God. God, I got to get to Jericho. I got to take this city. But it's a strong city. That a man of God rose up from his prayer and en route to his battle, he catches a glimpse of a man out of the corner of his eye standing with a sword drawn. Joshua says, what anybody would say, are you for me or are you against me? He said, nay, but I'm the captain of the Lord's host. We know the outcome of that story. All they had to do was march. Oh, come on here now. Don't speak a word, just march. March, 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 march. And we know that God said, Joshua, I'm going to give you a promise. Every place you put your foot down, I'm going to give you that land. I'm going to go before you and drive out the inhabitants. But if we want that promise, we're going to have to stand like Joshua. That generation to come up behind him, you know what God said about them a few more verses later? You won't worship me. You won't serve me. I'm not going to finish my job of getting the inhabitants out. I'm going to go as far as Joshua went, and that's it. My covenant's over with you, Israel, till you turn back to me. Some of you would not be here if it wasn't for a grandmother or a grandfather or a mommy or a daddy praying, because you ain't got an inkling of what an experience in a relationship with God means. It ain't like some boyfriend, girlfriend. Talk on the phone when you want. Don't talk when you don't want. Are you hearing me? It's going to take a Joshua experience with God that says, I'm going to go regardless of what the worldly tide has to say about it. Close to some of you young people come to praying through every day is saying a 5-second grace over your hamburger before you whoop it down. Come on here now. We need some Joshua and need to know how to get a hold of God and can preserve. I like what that brother said this morning. We're fools if we believe that we've attained such a place in God that we ain't going to be touched. Holiness is in jeopardy. Maybe I've missed it, Brother Noah, but from where I'm looking at in Ohio, I said holiness is in jeopardy. Are you hearing me? It just ain't tinkling like it used to. It just ain't sounding like it used to. Come on here now. Some of you wouldn't have a television in your house, but you spin them DVDs on your home computer. What's the difference? Oh, you ain't not helping me. Come on here now. I said little by little, we're watering it down. We're losing our God. We need some Joshuas with some backbone. God, that's going to stand up against the worldly tide.
My Bible teaches me that the women are to be the chaste keepers of the home. I
don't see how that can be accomplished in the future because all of our girls are in college. If you ain't married, I don't see nothing wrong going down and getting a little part-time job for a little spending money, a little shopping money. But you ought not be going to college trying to form a career. If you do it by God's book, your career is to pray for a good mate and then keep a good home. Teach them young women how to love their husbands, how to be respectful. My God, I know this is different. I know we're not used to it, but that's holiness. That's the word of God. Oh, you elder saints of God, thank you for helping me. Hey, young people, I'm a knocking on your door tonight. I know you're in the house. You can't hide. I know you're in there. I'm trying to help you. You better get a hold of God.
Someone said, Brother Jerry, I want my girl to get an education so she gets one of them men that ain't going to take care of her. And after 2 years of wedded bliss, leaves her with a mortgage payment and 3 kids. Doesn't our Bible tell us that we can find and seek God and we can get a hold of a mate that's not going to leave after 2 years? Oh, I know. I forgot about the divorce thing. Come on here now. There's saints coming in our church. We feel the pressure of everyday life. We've got so many in that situation. We don't know what to do with it sometimes. We've got the bombardment of hell rushing at our pastors so much. They're racking their brains trying to keep this family together, trying to keep this problem down. It would help the man of God. He had a Joshua waiting at the foot of the hill saying, pray on, Moses. I'm behind you, Moses. I'm gonna help you, Moses. Let the world dance. Let the world defile herself. But I'm gonna wait on God.
I wish there were some young people standing on their feet right now helping me. And I'm not being disrespectful, and these brothers know it. I appreciate my brother friends. Some of them don't really hardly know me. I appreciate y'all standing and helping me. But if I'm not mistaken, Brother Noah asked me to preach the youth service. I appreciate Brother McDonald's burden for the camp for the adults. I appreciate Brother Steve's burden and the rest of you good brethren. But my burden lies with you young people. So if I can just push them aside for a moment and interject you into this service, you're going to be pulled in here whether you want to be or not. Are you hearing me? Because you're serving either God or the devil. You're serving somebody. You're working for somebody. You're getting paid by somebody. And the way of a transgressor is hard.
You're in this thing whether you want to be or not. We need Joshua to stand up. I don't care what the popular kind of this world is. I'm tired. I'm telling you, brothers, I ain't nothing. God knows my heart. I don't think myself as nothing. But I know what God's been doing me in my prayer closet. I work with the youth, I know, and I have a greater burden that way. But that's my burden. And Brother Noah, I'm afraid for the holiness movement. If some young people don't get their head out of the sands like a bunch of ostriches. Come on here now. That ostrich, you know why it's considered a dumb bird? It'll go back to its nest and trample all over its eggs. It don't have no thought, it don't care. But I need some Joshua to stand up and say, if it was worth my granddaddy's time, if it was worth my mama's time, I believe I'll fight for God.
Gotcha. all you guys here tonight, you're not here because of anything you've done. You're here because there's been some Moses praying for your sorry hide when you wouldn't even pray. There's been some Moseses that put together youth camps, gave up vacation time on the job and with their family, that tried their best to equip you with what it's going to take to save your life. And you just want to snub up your nose like it doesn't matter. I beg to differ with you. It has kept me. Oh, it has kept me. I'll be the first one, brother, to admit to one for God and His salvation. My home would have been broken up a long time ago. But I'm working for somebody that's been my everything. No wonder the old songwriter says, I won't walk without Jesus. I won't talk without Jesus. Oh, He's good enough for you when you're in a pinch. He's good enough for you when you and your boyfriend goes a little too far and you're a little scared. He's good enough for you when it looks like you got some jail time coming. He's good enough for you when the forces of hell is pounding you on the ground. Oh, but bless God, when are you going to get a love and an experience that says like Job, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. I need some Joshua tonight. Where are you at, young man? You're waiting for Pastor to stir it. You're waiting for Mama to stir it. You're waiting for your neighbor to move before you decide to move. But I want to ask you, Joshua, if you're going to move, it's because you're going to do the moving. Come out here now. God's tired of y'all games. You better choose God. Where's that code at? Where's my code? I learned a long time ago. I know I ain't very smart, but I'm like that brother. I know when I'm right where God wants me to be. You can bat your eyes and blink at me all night. I'm going to come down your row harder. That ain't scaring me off. That's not going to make me sit down. I'm going to dig you up tonight. Are you hearing me? One day Elijah, the man of God, took a trip to Elisha's house. He was plowing for his daddy. He laid that mantle upon him. Kept on walking. Elisha had two choices. Keep plowing for my daddy or follow after God. You know what Elisha did? Elisha left his plow and ran after the man of God. Because, you know, if this thing don't work, I'm going to have to go back to plowing. Serve you, God, as long as it's all right, but when it gets rough, I'm going back to school. I'm going back to work. I'm going back to foolishness. That ain't what my Bible tells me. My Bible tells me Elisha broke that plow up, threw it on the ground, grabbed that old ox. He didn't say this, but I know he did it. slew them. Build him a fire with the plow. Put them oxen on there and sacrifice them to God. See you later, Mama. See you later, Daddy. I'm going to follow like a man of God. What was his last word? I want a double portion of what you had, Elijah. He sold completely out. He burned up the oxen, broke up the plow. There's some of you. You need to sell out all the way for God.
Borrow a few lines from my brother that got up before me. I got about 15 minutes left. I was hoping you'd be more cooperative. But since you ain't, I'm going to go to Plan B. Some of you Joshua, but you just don't know it. Larry, I apologize. I don't know everybody's name. Just, if it looks like I'm looking at you, just come up. Huh? I mean, I ain't cross-eyed or nothing, but you never know. Amen. Come on here now. All you good brothers, stand right over here. All right. Now. Come on out of here. You, come here. I'm feeling the Lord. Just hold on here with me a minute. I promise. Huh? Oh, God. Is this all right? Is this all right? Come on, quickly, click me, huh? I only got about 10 minutes left now. Come on. Now, I want to ask y'all something. I know it's a little different. Amen, but there's a lot of stuff. Y'all come up here so I can see you. You, turn. Quickly. You boys come over here. I want everybody to feast their eyes up here just a moment. By the talent of our imaginations, we've been talking about so much here lately. Let's fast forward about 10 or 15 years from now. This is Bethel Holiness Camp Meeting right here. Who's the day speaker? Who's the day speaker? Is it you? Who's the night speaker? Is it you? Who's the youth speaker? Is it you? Come on here now. Who's one of the visiting evangelists who's been working hard for God to come by? Is it you? Who's our song leader? Is it you? Who's that gray-headed mama that everybody in the church looks up to get a prayer through? Is it you? Who's our choir director? Is it you? Who's the pastor? Is it you? Who's the brother Russell McDonald? Who's the brother Steve Gentry? Where you at, Joshua? Where you at, Joshua? We need you, Joshua. Moses is getting weird. Moses has just about seen his day. And I'm asking you tonight, where are the Joshua? Some of you are so tangled up with who am I going to marry? Who am I going to be with for the rest of my life? Okay.
need to be more concerned about how your marriage with the Lord's going. You can't be faithful to God. Are you going to be faithful to your husband? Come on here now. Come on, boys, if you can't work and be a man that's always there for the church, I can't stand to see a work detail and every old man pushing brooms and the young boys staring out their hands in their pocket, popping chewing gum. Where you at, Joshua? I said, where's your story hide at? It's about time. You've got a hold of it. You're not going to be 15 forever. You're not going to be 19 forever. One day, girls, you're going to wake up with a baby in this hand and a diaper bag in this other. And will you be able to show them the way of God? Oh, this thing's going to eat me up. I know it's getting late, but I wish somebody would obey God.